The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The ruler sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Two and a half weeks ago, our school children were tremendously saddened. You might say some of them were devastated. They had all been praying for a particular intention for over a year. They had been praying for the husband of our eighth grade teacher, Rita Casa Grande. Her husband's name is Kelly. He had been diagnosed a year ago with cancer. 6 years before he had been diagnosed, and he defeated the cancer, and it had returned, and it had come back with a vengeance, and it would spread all throughout his entire body. And for the last year, every single day, these kids, 250 kids praying for him, many of them praying the rosary every single day that he might be healed. Even little 6, 7, 8-year-olds offering sacrifices, fasting for him, and then to hear the news that he had died. They had been expecting a miracle. Little did they know that our Lord had worked numerous miracles, just not in the way that they had expected, and in fact, in a far greater way. And I want to share just a few of those with you today. So for the last year, Rita has been hoping, praying, that her husband would get back to confession. He had been away from the faith a little bit, not a very active Catholic for the last 10 years or more. And so this last year she'd been working on it, asking him over and over, "You know, honey, would you please?" And he was confident, "I'm going to get over this, everything's going to be fine, you know, no worries." And then 3.5 weeks ago, they received very bad news. I made my way out to the house the next day, and I was hoping, praying that he'd go to confession. And I get there, and we talked for about an hour. I was with Sister Maria Rose and one of the other sisters, and Rita herself and her husband. And I didn't want to push too hard. I didn't know what to expect. And there wasn't a great urgency, but he wasn't doing well. And we talked for about an hour, and then finally I thought, okay, you know, it's not going to happen today. And I get up to leave, and Rita says, "Father, would you anoint Kelly?" I said, "Oh, okay, sure, I'd be glad to." And before Kelly could respond, I ran out to get the oils from my car. And I had also brought Holy Communion for Rita. She had been unable to get to Mass on Sunday because she'd been taking care of him. And I come back into the house and I start to pray the prayers of healing, the anointing of the sick. And as I lay my hands on Kelly, to my surprise, when I said things like, "Lord, if it be your will, work a miracle," there was no response from him. But when I would say things like, "Lord, give him the faith to see your hand in the midst of his suffering," he would nod his head. So I anoint him. And then I say, "Kelly, I brought Holy Communion for both you and for Rita. Would you like to receive?" And he says, "Father, I'm a good traditional Catholic, even though I haven't been a good Catholic. And I would need to go to confession beforehand." And I'd been there too long that day. I said, "Okay, I'll come back tomorrow." And he said, "Oh, well, you know, Father, maybe a couple weeks from now, you know, I need time to prepare." That day I got back to the rectory here and I emailed Rita and I said, "Rita, you know, I've worked with a number of people close to the end. You do not want to delay. I'll come out as soon as possible." And she said, "Father, he wants to try to gain some weight first, get some strength back, and then we'll have you come." And I'm thinking, my goodness, don't you see it's so close to the end? Well, 10 days pass and they find out at a doctor's visit that he has 10 days, excuse me, that he has 2 weeks to 6 weeks left to live. And so she said, "Father, he's ready for you to come." And I went out that next day. I texted Sister Maria Rose. And I said, "Sister, I'm going to be going out to visit Kelly. Would you remember him in your prayers?" And she texted me back and she says, "Father, before you go, please come by the school office. We have a letter from the Pope for him." And at the end, you know, she puts a little smiley face. I thought, okay, she's joking, right? She was serious. So a month before, this happened on November 4th that she texted that to me. She said they had gotten an envelope that day from the Vatican. A month before, on October 4th, the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, our seventh graders had sent a letter to the Holy Father to commend him, let him know that they were praying for him on his celebration. Pope Francis, taking the name after St. Francis. So it was his feast day, his patronal feast. So they send off this letter. So a month later, they get a letter back from the Vatican. Now, I lived in the Vatican for 4 years. It is a miracle to even hear back from the Pope, much less within a month. And they get this large envelope back for the seventh graders, and within that is a smaller envelope, and on the cover of it, it says, "For Rita and Kelly Casagrande." And this envelope is sealed. So I go over and I pick this up from Sister Maria Rose. And it is a miracle that I didn't open it up before I got there. Right? So it's this little envelope and it's nice and thick. So something is inside. And I get to their home. And so the first thing I do, I pull this out and I said, "Kelly, I have a letter from the Pope for you." You know, his eyes get really big. Now he would die the next day. His body's totally emaciated. It was difficult for him to speak. And I hand him this letter, this envelope, and he opens it up. And inside are two rosaries blessed by our Holy Father. One for Kelly and one for Rita. He would die with that rosary wrapped around his hand. So very few people in the world can say they received a gift from the Pope. Even fewer could say the final gift of their life was a gift from the Pope. Rita left the room so I could hear Kelly's confession. And the very first thing he said before beginning his confession, with tears in his eyes, he said, "Father, you know, I have not been the best of Catholics." He said, "But one thing I never stopped doing was calling out to our Blessed Mother Mary. Not a single day has gone by in my life, even though I've been away from the faith, where I have not fallen asleep praying Hail Marys, where I have not begun every day of my life invoking her." And here was Our Lady at the end of his life. How many times did he say, "Pray for me now and at the hour of my death"? And here was Our Lady fulfilling his prayers. So he makes his confession. I give him absolution. And he could hardly talk. I was sitting a few feet away and I would try to read his lips sometimes, or I'd need to have him repeat things. He finishes his confession and he reaches out to me and he says, "Father, can I ask you one more favor?" And I said, "Okay, of course." He said, "Before I die, I want to renew my wedding vows with Rita. Would you please bless our marriage?" And so I start crying, right? I go and I get Rita and I bring her back. And I said, "Rita, before I give you both Holy Communion, Kelly would like me to do something very special. He wants you to renew your wedding vows with him." And so to hear a dying man say, "I, Kelly, take you, Rita, to be my wife. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad. I will love you in sickness and in health. So when I told Rita that he was going to renew her vow, she breaks down. She begins to sob. She sits on the couch for about 5 minutes. She gets up. They both renew their vows. I bless their wedding rings anew. And he kisses his bride one last time. He died the next day, and I have no doubt that he'd been living simply to be reconciled with God. But what is so beautiful is the very end. That afternoon, he receives a phone call from a sister who had been here for 3 years, Sister Ave Maria. Now, Sister had developed a close relationship with Kelly in the midst of his suffering, but she had received a new assignment, so she was in Texas. And she'd gotten the news from the sisters. They'd been praying their hearts out for Kelly. And so she was so excited that she called him. Well, by the time the phone call came through, he could no longer speak. And so Rita just had to hold the phone to his ear. And he would nod. He would smile gently as he talked for a few minutes. She said, "But Father, he did say one last thing. Some of the final words he ever spoke." He was listening to her for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, tears started to trickle down his cheeks. And the only thing he said to her was this, "Sister, I love you too." He died the next afternoon as I was celebrating Mass in the convent on the feast, the Dominican Feast of All Saints, as the sisters were receiving Holy Communion. As they were celebrating their friends in heaven, and they understood that to be a sign from heaven, that he would now be a new friend of theirs, a new companion in eternal life. For the last 2 years, every time I have the privilege of preparing someone for heaven right at the end, I cannot help but think of the saints we hear about today, and someone whom we don't often think of as a saint. And that is the good thief. Now, we call him the good thief all down through history. He was not a good thief. He would not have been crucified just for being a robber. In the early church, the fathers speak of him as having committed numerous murders, taking the life of his own brother. And yet we call him the good thief. He made the greatest act of faith at the scene of Calvary, with the exception of our Blessed Mother Mary. He was the only one at Calvary to see our Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross as a king. John did not see that. Mary Magdalene did not see that. None of the other apostles believed that. Only Our Lady and Saint Dismas, the name that we have given to him. He is the only one. He says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That he believed that he was a king, but not a king of this world. And how did our Lord repay him for that tremendous act of faith? But how did he come to that act of faith? We hear in Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark that at the beginning, when they were being crucified, both criminals were reviling our Lord. It is only in Luke that we hear him say this, and our Lord respond, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But right before this, our Lord had said, looking out on the crowd, "Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the good thief must have recognized himself in those words. And in that moment, he was converted, realizing that Jesus really was who he said he was, that he was giving his life so that we might live not for a kingdom of this earth, but a kingdom for all eternity. St. Dismas' feast day is March 25th, the day traditionally that we believe was the day on which Good Friday occurred. What else do we celebrate on March 25th? The day of the Annunciation, the day our Lord Jesus Christ took flesh to redeem the world, St. Dismas, the good thief, was the very first one assured of salvation, the very first one to share in the recreation of all things. Let us ask him today to intercede for us and to pray in particular for three things. One, that we also might recognize that we were created for a kingdom not of this world. Two, that we might be fully converted. And three, that we might not wait till the final moments of our life.